Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you this morning. As we study this lesson this morning from the book of Hebrews, taken from the Adult Quarterly, the title being Worship and Life. And our scripture will come from the 12th chapter of Hebrews, beginning with the 18th verse and reading through the 21st verse of the 13th chapter. So at this time, I would call your attention to the reading of God's Word. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, which have not benefited those who devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with their joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And again, we thank the Lord for giving us this holy word, that we may learn about him and be able to trust him more. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray this morning that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit. Teach us through the power of the Spirit things that we have never heard, never understood, but only are found in your word. Things that we need, Father, to live the Christian life. Things that we need to worship you in spirit and in truth. So go with us as we attempt this study. And we ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. So this lesson this morning is about worship. And it's about life. The two things that Christians should care the most about. You know, the book of Hebrews really focuses on reminding its readers that what they have in Christ is better than any other alternative. In other words, Christ is better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. He's even better than Moses. And all of this just means that as Christians, we worship at a better mountain than those who have gone before us. We don't worship a different God. Far from it. Because the saints who went before us, they join in heavenly worship with us, even now. And we have access to God through Christ. This was just something that they really just dreamed about and looked forward to. So that should encourage us to worship, as well as living a life that would reflect our amazing privilege in Christ. Now, he talks about in this beginning of this 12th chapter and 18th verse that Christians have access to a better mountain, a better sanctuary than those who, of course, went before us. The old covenant mountain evidently is Sinai, and it's characterized here by darkness and fear. You know, God there delivered his law with all those demands that left men trembling in God's presence. But we come joyfully to the heavenly Mount Zion. And we have a mediator who has made peace with God for us through his blood sprinkled on the heavenly mercy seat. So we have no fear when we come to this mountain. Now, our citizenship as Christians is not located anywhere on this earth. It's not on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, which many people would like to think. There is no longer any sacred earthly city. Our citizenship is in heaven. And that's the heavenly Jerusalem above. So when we gather for worship, we meet together, not alone. We meet with an exalted company of angels and martyrs, all, it says, assembling in a festal gathering. And our assemblies, if you want to call them that, our worship services, are to be characterized with great joy. And it says we are the church of the firstborn. You know, in the sense of entitlement to the inheritance that's been prepared for us That's where we are considered the church of the firstborn. And that inheritance is to have our names enrolled in heaven and written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because our sins have been atoned for by the blood of the Lamb. But then he says in a negative sense here, see that you do not refuse him. And he says, if those who neglected the law that was given on Mount Sinai and paid the penalty when they fell away, then how much more would the same judgment apply to us? So let us be positive and let us be thankful in worship. Because when we worship, we are to fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the author and he's the perfecter of our faith. So we have access to God through Christ in the heavenly realms. Now, there is a day coming that will make that awe-inspiring fire on Mount Sinai seem like nothing but a flickering match. Because God is going to shake not only the mountain, but he's going to shake the heavens and the earth. He's going to sweep away everything old and outdated and replace them with a new heavens, with new heavens and a new earth. So God is building his kingdom, and nothing on earth or in heaven can prevent that from happening. And even though we have a bold access to God through Christ, we still reminded that our God remains a consuming fire. We need to keep that always in mind. Now, worship is not the only implication of that glorious inheritance that is ours in Christ. He says that reverence and awe toward God should result in love toward our brothers and sisters in faith. It talks about here back in those days in the New Testament, travelers were often dependent on people opening their homes to strangers. And it says that hospitality is one of the qualities that is required of elders. That's found in 1 Timothy 3:2. But then in reality, it ought to mark all believers. In other words, the command for brotherly love and hospitality are connected. In other words, in Christ, even strangers become our family. Well, the writer reminds us, them and us as well, of another possibility. He said, you don't know, they might be angels. And you might not be aware of that. Just as Jesus said, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So, hospitality is important. We need to welcome not only friends, but strangers. Strangers that are in need, is what it's saying. Now, next, the writer addresses legitimate and illegitimate desires. He's talking about marriage being legitimate, and sexuality is to be contained within marriage. And he talks about the love of silver. He said, on the other hand, that's illegitimate. That Christians should be content with what they have. Well, we have to look to Jesus. You know, leaders come and go. But Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep. And he remains unchanging. And he's always reliable, no matter what. And he's already provided us with a new generation of leaders who likewise deserve the respect of the people. Well, in the meantime, there needs to be a final warning, he says, against being drawn away in strange teachings. Now, this was a problem in the early Christian church. The apostles all faced it because of the Judaizers that were continually trying to put heresies in the worship and in the gospel, which was wrong and was not supposed to have been done. But it said if the Hebrews were cast out of the synagogues and abandoned by the Jews, it should have just simply reinforced the fact that they were identified with Jesus. And Jesus was likewise suffered outside the camp, outside the gates of Jerusalem. He was crucified. And it said, like Abraham before him, that they had no lasting city here on this earth, but they didn't need one. Because their citizenship and our citizenship as well is safely acknowledged in heaven. You know, our destiny doesn't lie in our own hands, but in the safe hand of the great shepherd of the sheep. Because he's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Now, we can expect life in this old world here to be hard, and it was for the saints down through the ages. But in the resurrected Christ, we have a merciful and faithful high priest. And he will not rest until he has finished his good work in us. And to him be the glory forever and ever. You know, we talk about worship a lot, but there's several application points we need to talk about here. You know, our worship is like Old Testament worship in the fact that we're all sinners approaching the same holy God. But we cannot be flippant or casual in our approach to such a deity as God. You know, our sins have been fully atoned for, and we've been declared the children of God. And that should make our worship services joyful affairs. But also reverence and awe fits in with the worship. And it means that there should be an appropriate respect in worship. Because we're coming before the creator of the universe, and he is a consuming fire. But yet at the same time, this king of all creation has declared himself to be our father. So we are to express both of these aspects then in our worship. Now, looking at some of the points that we've talked about earlier here, he talks about a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Now, we look back to Mount Sinai when the covenant was given and there was a great shaking of the mountain because of what the children of Israel had done, and God knew it in building the golden calf. You know, the experience of Israel at Mount Sinai, it just shows us how great and fearful this Mosaic covenant was, because Moses said, "I tremble with fear." And Moses feared that God was going to destroy Israel after their worship of the golden calf. But in writing, this Hebrew writer of Hebrews, he's warning us against similar idolatry. It's what he's doing. He said, "You have come to Mount Zion." Now, that draws upon the Old Testament imagery of a new heavenly Zion, which a new Jerusalem. And it's a heavenly Jerusalem, he says. And he said, and those who have died in faith have already gone and are in God's presence right now. And then the next verse, he talks about the assembly of the firstborn. He said, Jesus was previously called the firstborn son. But here, his followers are granted an inheritance as if they were firstborn sons as well. And he says that the spirits of the righteous refers to the saints of the old and new covenants. And they're portrayed as holy and being made personally perfect. And that was the goal of Christ's work, of course. But though with their re-embodiment is yet to come. In other words, they haven't been resurrected and given a new body yet. That will come at the final resurrection. But their belief in him and the work he would do when he did come, that was what they looked to. Talks about the blood of Abel crying out a curse for vengeance. But then he says, Jesus' blood brings forgiveness and atonement. Then we go back down here and talk about Mount Sinai once more. Said at that time, at Mount Sinai, that both the earth and the heavens will be judged in order to establish the future reality. In other words, there was a great shaking of Mount Sinai, and there was fire up on the mountain. But he says, once more, both the heavens and the earth will be judged. And they will. That is in order to establish the future reality. And he says, and that will be eternal. Those are the things that cannot be shaken. You know, acceptable worship takes into account God's holiness and his position as a judge to whom, of course, worship is due. And in talking about this, he talks about the sacrifices that are pleasing to God. Of course, we are reminded of all the Old Testament sacrifices that were offered to God throughout that time, and were continuing and even up to Jesus' day some. But they had quit doing the sacrifices. But what he says is more important than those are a lot of things that Christ brought out when he was here ministering on this earth. One of those was brotherly love. He said relationships in the church are marked by love. In other words, that's one of the fruits of faith. He said that hospitality, in other words, hosting, caring for visitors, strangers, is important. It was difficult back in that time, and it can be difficult today, and it can be dangerous. But we are to be hospitable. To all. It's a virtue of a Christian. Remember those in prison, he said. There were many imprisoned apostles during that time, and we are to remember them, to pray for them. And it says Christians should not separate themselves from the needs of all that is going on around them. In other words, remember those in need in the real world of everyday life. Then he talks about marriage. He states that it's to be held in honor with a warning from God that he will judge anyone who is sexually immoral. This warning is addressed to members of the church, and if they are genuine Christian believers, this judgment of God would not mean final condemnation to hell, but it would bring disciplinary action and judgment in this life, loss of rewards on the last day, or both. And then he talks about money. The antidote to love of money is contentment. Contentment. And that comes from trusting in God's promise. Provisions. Talks about leaders. said the primary role of leaders is to preach and teach God's word, and their lives should reflect the word that is being taught. We're warned about being led away, following heresies. In this particular passage, he's talking about doctrines about foods. And he says, spiritual foods are of no spiritual benefit. The Christian altar, he says, is better than the food of the tabernacle. However, all Christians partake of the Christian altar. He talks about Jesus being outside the gate. He went to a place where they sacrificed animals, referring to Calvary, of course, which was outside the gate of Jerusalem. He calls on us that we need to go to Jesus outside the camp. Leave behind the love of this world and the desire for approval of the world, and embrace the reproach of Christ, he says. And then finally, in the benediction, he invokes God's blessing on his readers. Says he's a God of peace. And he says this new covenant has been established forever. But then I go back to what I mentioned earlier. When we talk about this lesson today of worship and life, and the fact that our destiny does not lie in our own hands, but in the safe hand of the great shepherd of the sheep, who has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Now, we can expect life on this earth, in this world, to be hard. It was hard for those that have gone before us. But in the resurrected Christ, we have a merciful and faithful high priest who will not rest until he has finished his good work in us. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this lesson this morning is a great tribute to the God, the great Creator of the heavens and the earth, to the God that loved us even before the foundation of the world and prepared a way for us to be forgiven for our sins, provided a Redeemer in His only begotten Son that we might be saved and not face the wrath, not face the consuming fire of an almighty God. Father, we pray this morning for those that we have just yesterday found out that have sicknesses. We pray for Linda Treadaway and this situation that she's approaching to have surgery for cancer. Father, we pray for others that need your prayers this morning. We ask you be merciful unto them. Father, continue to bless us throughout this next coming week, Lord. Give us a safe 4th of July when many will be on the road traveling to see their families. And keep us in your care. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus and for His sake. Amen.